Welcome back to season two of the Proudly Dwight podcast. You're still here, joined by Lee.
And by Sean.
And we've got the 2021 season's preview.
Well, and to start to discuss.
It's already underway. But yeah. Before we get into it, let's talk about what's happened with the squads first.
Well, where do you want to start? I mean, there's a lot to talk about.
Let's just throw out some of the big names that have joined over the last couple of weeks. The biggest one in terms of the women's, obviously Alex Morgan joining. Yep. What a signing that is.
I mean, huge. I mean, you know, she's got, I think it's 1 million more social media followers than Harry Kane has. So in both in terms of her as a player, she's one of the world's best players, and in terms of her as a personality, she is going to do major things for Spurs.
It'll be great to have her insight, especially in the dressing room and training and everything like that. Just, you know, to have someone of her stature who has achieved the things that she's achieved over her career so far, to have her even just around, not even necessarily playing, but even if we just had her in amongst the squad, she's going to bring such a big influence, such a big impact to that group of women. And it's all positive.
Well, and she's joining two of her teammates from Orlando Pride at Spurs. So Alana Kennedy and Shalina Zdorsky have already started with us. So there's already going to be some understanding in terms of those three and a spine throughout the team who've played together before and who understand what it takes. We know that Rhianna Dean's looking forward to learning from the best striker in the world. And you know, having some support and some competition in that role, it can only be a good thing. And the amount of attention it's already brought to the women's team, given that in the women's game we're a smaller club, it is huge. It is a very different kind of signing to the major signings in the men's game, because this is almost like a statement of intent from the women's game saying, look, this is us pushing on and signing the best player that you could sign, signing a player who is better than the players potentially signed by City and by Chelsea and Arsenal at this point in time. This is what we're doing. This is how we're stepping up our game. Now, the thing is that we've got to respond to that and we've got to follow through on that promise, because it is a big promise to the fans, really, signing a player like that. It gives you great potential. Now we've just got to follow through. I know I said at the end of last season in the final pod we did that I was looking for some more ambition from the signings from the Spurs women. And I think those three signings that we've made since then have certainly been ambitious and have certainly have done that. What I want to see now is stepping up and those things being embedded in the team and that ambition being embedded in everything we do moving forward. Because, you know, we are still lagging behind the big teams in several ways as a women's team. So that's what I want to see is that being followed through and, you know, this not being the end of it. And, you know, it's great because our general manager, Heather, has those links with the manager of Orlando Pride because she worked with him at Birmingham. And she's used her links this season to bring in a couple of players from Birmingham and some players from Orlando Pride. It's going to be interesting to see how she does next transfer window when she's kind of exhausted those previous links. But for now, the signs are great, and I can't wait to see them getting out on the pitch. We started against Everton not as well as we might have liked to have done. Of course, we started at West Ham, and that was a bit of as we anticipated. It wasn't it was the first game of the season, difficult. We'll get onto that, I guess. But we've got Zdorsky and Kennedy already settling in and looking like great players. We don't know exactly when Alex Morgan's going to start playing. Potentially, the weekend we got a small matter of a quarter final against a certain South London side. So we don't know if she'll make a debut there or whether we'll have to wait until the Manchester City game. But still, you know, big name. But then, of course, the men's team have been trying to outdo that.
Oh yeah, they have, haven't they? You go from signing one World Cup winner, or double World Cup winner, to a four times Champion League winner, and also I would say club legend. I think I've already said that before on the pod, but Gareth Bale joining Spurs, although albeit only on loan, It's a loan with a potential extension for a second year, and then after that, he's a free agent. So that would be, in effect, a free signing, which is an unbelievable piece of work from the club to be able to get that to happen. There's rumours every transfer window about it, and I've got to say, I don't normally try and buy into the transfer rumours, but this season I really was bought into it, and if it didn't happen, I was going to be very upset. But, you know, they've got it over the line, and Bale is in the number nine.
And, you know, the thing for me that is really lovely as well is that actually he genuinely seems really pleased to be back. I mean,
he definitely does.
There's the rumours, you know, you always hear those things about as soon as Spurs were in for him, he was saying that was it, that was where he wanted to be, and you can... You know, that's fine. But when you actually watch his face and when he came in to see the number nine shirt and he was taking a picture of it on his phone, and, you know, you can see there's a genuine enthusiasm to be back amongst a club which, you know, has always rated him and has always treated him well, and where the fans have always been grateful for his presence. So, yeah, I mean, he's still got a few years at the top of the game. So... potential to be an absolute hero for us again. And, you know, and he knows what it takes to win. He's been
and
there.
Again, like you said with the women's team as well, it's just that level of ambition, isn't it? That, you know, we're signing players of this stature, and that's showing the club's ambition again, which is something that I feel that some of our transfers previously maybe have lacked. Obviously, when we had Ndombele that signed, that was a big statement. But now we're finally starting to see it being backed up with other big name players.
Yeah, and I think we know that Levy's been, you know, very clever in bringing in Gareth Bale in terms of, you know, paying a third of his wages and, you know, and having that option for a second year loan, and then who knows what can happen at the end of Gareth's contract with Real Madrid. Yeah, I mean the trouble now is, of course, and I'm sure Jose is aware of it, the pressure is on, because nobody can say now that we haven't been spending the money, we haven't been bringing in players who are going to take us up a level. It really is now up to the team and the manager to show what they can do and to win some silverware.
And in our squad now, we've got five country captains. So if we haven't got leadership on the pitch now, I don't think we could ever have any more than what we've got. So, you know, it's also going to be interesting from the dressing room side of things. How do you, you know, bringing in Bale, that's obviously going to make Harry Kane step up his game, as we saw in the most recent match, which we'll come into in a little bit. But, you know, I've seen a lot of players that have stepped up their game now. They're thinking, right, this is it. We need to crack on and, you know, deliver now.
Yeah, and I absolutely think, you know, before they may have had excuses in terms of, you know, well, the manager wasn't getting the players that he wanted or whatever it might be. There's no excuse now. We've bought several players, you know, from the time that we bought Lo Celso and Ndombele in, we've continued to buy players. And now with Gareth Bale coming in and, you know, his teammate from Real Madrid as well, who's won the Europa League with Sevilla last season and is looking like a great young talent. And also, Levy is still saying, we're looking for a striker. And
yeah, he said that Bale's not the replacement striker that we've been after, which is... It's great intent. And if we can get a striker signed in this window, then I think every Spurs fan would say that it has been one of our most successful windows. We've patched up the places that need patching up. I know that, you know, getting Doty at right back, and he's not had the most successful as his first few matches, but you're settling into a new squad. It's going to take time to adapt to the training and the tactics and the mentality and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot of potential to come. These signs really have got a whole season to develop themselves, and hopefully over the course of the season, especially when we go into the Christmas period where we've got lots of big fixtures in quite a short space of time, it's going to be really important that they're all hitting their form at the right time.
I do just wonder how Spursy it would be, though, for the season that we have the two of the biggest players in the world playing for our teams. It's the one season we don't get to go to any of the games.
I mean, you couldn't write the stuff, could you?
I mean, come on now. But, I mean, hopefully we will get into the stadia at some point and we will get to see the games. But, yeah, I mean, even just watching them on the television is going to be, you know, great. And for lots of us with Bale, it's that reminder of, because we saw him play before, and so bringing him back again. I mean, we've all loved Bale for many years. We've all hoped that he would come back because you know, we understood that he had to go to Real Madrid to you know, meet his you know, ambition as a player. But that he's come back again shows that we weren't wrong in terms of the fact that, you know, he was born to play for us, really.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that we, as a club, helped him with his career. And, you know, he's looked back at the club and thought, you know, that's a club that cared about me as a player, me and my career, not just putting themselves first, which is something that, as Spurs fans, we always do pride ourselves on, is that we always try and, you know, do the best. I was slightly disappointed about what happened with Danny Rose and the circumstances surrounding him leaving, with the club not giving him a squad number and things like that. I think that was a little bit, you know, that wasn't very Spurs-like. But
I do wonder, though, I do wonder how much Danny's created that situation, though, because he has, in essence, refused to go to the clubs that have been interested in him. And, you know, that's his, you know, fair play to him. If he doesn't want to go, then that's fine. But equally, at the same time, you know, maybe because he's done that, the club are saying, look, the only way, obviously, you're going to listen to the fact that we don't consider you to be a first team player anymore is if we actually treat you like you're not a first team player. You know, we've seen a little bit of behind the scenes, obviously, with the documentary, and absolutely, Danny Rose has been a great servant to the club for a lot of years, but I'm not sure that he hasn't been part of his own downfall in the last few years, and that he could have helped himself. But you know, he says himself, if you listen to his interviews, that he's not the kind of guy that makes it easy on himself or on other people necessarily. And I think that's kind of where the situation's got to. If you're not listening when you're being told we don't really need you anymore, something's got to be done to make you hear that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't think anyone outside of the upper management of the club will really know the ins and outs of that. Obviously, like you said, from the docuseries, we've seen bits of it and aspects of it, but we've also got to remember they show us what they want to show us. So, you know, there's things happening behind the scenes, as with every football club. I just think it would have been, you know, it would have been nice if we could have had at least some sort of good farewell, you know.
But he hasn't left yet, service. So we can't have a good farewell because he's still at the club.
This is true. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe they will when he actually does go. Maybe there will be something. Who knows? But I mean, it's difficult times at the moment. You know, the women have said we're going to have a celebration of Jenna's career at some point, but at this moment in time, it looks like that might be like a season after she's left the club. So, you know, and we do. You look at, I mean, I just finished watching the docuseries over the weekend, and just watching that last one with Jan Vertonghen, you know, it does make you a little bit, you know, emotional about the club and what it means to the players and to players like Jan Vertonghen, and him standing there saying, I'll never find a team like this one again. You know, there is generally a good feeling amongst the players, and even if you've not been playing, there's that feeling of doing well for each other. And I just wonder, you know, that there's maybe more to the Danny Rose thing than just him being treated badly.
Yeah, especially with like Bale returning and being so happy to come back to the club, it shows that I think the club has that caringness in there. I guess it's one of those things that we won't really know.
Yeah, but it has to be. It's a two way thing, isn't it? How, you know, the relationship, and the player has to give as much as the club does, and we will never know the truth of any of those relationships in full. But yeah, we just have to hope that Danny finds a club that he's happy with, and can, you know, have a few more years playing some football and enjoying himself, because sadly his time at Spurs, it seems, is up.
Absolutely. And it raises question marks around the most recent matchday selection, that Dele Alli wasn't included in the squad. And obviously they interviewed Mourinho after the match and was asking about it. And also before, when the squad was announced, and there was a lot of, you know, a lot of vague answers, and there wasn't anything really concrete in there. And, you know, for me, when I look at it, it was more of a tactical decision, because when you come up against Southampton, you know that you have got strikers there that will put the ball away, and you know that there's pace in the squad as well. So when you're coming up against that, you want to have a solid team that can control the ball, control the tempo of play and things like that. And I think Dele's style is very much, he'll go for the flair, he'll go for the flicks and the tricks, and you know, trying to play past people. And if it doesn't work, he's massively out of position, and then that's when we would be vulnerable. And I think maybe Mourinho has spotted that against Southampton, that you know, that wasn't what we needed for that. And obviously with the schedules coming thick and fast, all these matches, you know, he will have a part to play in those, but maybe this just wasn't the one for him.
Yeah, we've got three more games in this week, and I can't see that he's not going to have a role to play in one, at least one of those games. But equally, you know, again, I think there's something to be said, isn't there, for we know that Mourinho, since he's been at the club, has been telling Dele he needs to work harder. And maybe he's just trying to find another way to show him that he's got to work harder, because he is a lazy player. However much you like his trickery and his flair, and he can produce moments of brilliance, but then he doesn't do... But in a Mourinho side, that's not enough. You look at how Harry Kane has played in the game against Southampton, and the work rate that he put in. He's a striker, but he was, you know, and even before that game, in fact, you know, you've seen him defending in the box. That's what he does, and that's what Mourinho wants: is players who work hard for the whole team and defend as a team. And we've seen in the series him pointing that out on several occasions, that Dele doesn't do that. And if Dele hasn't risen to the challenge of doing that after Mourinho pointing it out to him for a few months, maybe Mourinho's just saying, well, maybe I need to be a bit more shock tactic about it, leave him out of the squad, say, you know, you're not even in the squad today. See if that makes him work harder. Because much as I think Dele has the capacity to be a world-class player, he doesn't have the desire to be a world-class player at the moment, because as we know, to be a world-class player, you need the innate skill and talent, but you also have to work hard.
Exactly. And when you look back at the Southampton match, you know, Kane and Son, their link-up play was absolutely out of this world, and they were both on the same wavelength, but they both got back and they did the work they needed to do, especially in that second half. And when it all started clicking, they were all behind the ball. They were going in for the tackles. They were pressing a lot harder than they have against Everton when we lost. There was a lot of, players that weren't necessarily closing down as quick and things like that. And the first half of the match against Southampton was similar. But then in the second half, they really got their act together as a team, as a squad. And they really went after the players. And when they're doing that, as soon as you've got the ball, you then all of a sudden you're in a position where you can attack. And with Southampton's high line, you know, the ball's over the top and in the back, that's where we got them.
And
but
I think that
comes
is
from the hard work.
Yeah, and I think, you know, something that maybe people, you know, didn't appreciate. We know that Mourinho has a reputation, you know, for the counter-attack and the long ball. And maybe looking at the way Spurs started to play, people were thinking it's not a game plan, it's just that's how Mourinho plays. But then you listen to the interviews afterwards with Harry talking, and you find, you know, actually, no, that is the game plan for Southampton, because that's the game plan that's going to work against Southampton. And we saw it work. We saw that when they actually did that, when they, you know, when they played the ball first time, and they pinged it over the top, and when Harry trusted that Son was going to be there, we scored 5 goals. You know, it's there is a game plan there for each and every game, and it's about how the opposition play. And I think it can be easy to mistake that for a different kind of game when you're playing against a team like Southampton. But we know against Southampton that they have that. That sometimes their high defensive line does lead to high goal scoring against them, and usually they change that fairly quickly after the Leicester trouncing of them last season. You know, they fairly quickly improved defensively, but we know that they have the capacity to concede those goals in that way, and we did it brilliantly in the second half. I think
it was really nice to watch. You know, the front line that we have is one of the best in the league, in the world, especially with Bale joining as well. And, you know, you expect that to be able to deliver. You look at that front line and you'd expect 3 or 4 goals every match, no matter who the opponents are, really, because you know the quality in those players and you know that they all can perform and deliver.
The interesting thing, isn't it, that Kane and Son are the best strike partnership in the Premier League. Between them now, they've scored 24 goals as assist and scorer, which is the highest in the Premier League since the Premier League began. You know, and that says a lot about how well those two players work together and the partnership that they've got, and because they're both goal scorers and goal creators. You know, and when you add Gareth Bale into the mix, you can only be excited, really, can't you?
Exactly. And when you've got those players that are performing and, you know, they're reaching, well, starting to reach the potential that we know that they can deliver. When you think back to the, I think it was 16-17 season, when it was just at that front three were absolutely on fire. You know, it had reminiscence of that, the trusting, the understanding, the almost like the muscle reflexes that, you know, where they've trained it over and over and over again in the build up to this match, where they're just performing it without even thinking. I think you said previously that, you know, for the third goal, I think it was that Kane didn't even know that Son was there. He just heard him call for it and that he was running and he just put it in there and he knew that Son would be there and he was and finished it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's two players in the peak of their game, you know, enjoying playing together and knowing that they can trust that the rest of the team will have their back so that they can make those runs. And, you know, Sonny was the one making the forward runs today, but, we know that Harry Kane can make those runs as well. And if they can mix it up between them and when Bale comes in, you know, you can have two of them play and rest one of them and Harry Kane won't have to be playing every match for us to be scoring goals.
Yeah, and that's such a good prospect. That's something that we haven't had at Spurs in quite a long time. And I think that could be the key to unlocking that difference between the almost there and getting there and getting those trophies at the end of the day. You need to be able to give players a bit of a rest. You need to have them fresh and at peak and performing. And I think being able to cycle through without necessarily relying on one person is going to be key.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a long way to go in the season. It's very early days. Manchester United struggled against Crystal Palace, who are looking really good early doors. This, you know, two great games for them this season. So, you know, lots to be played for yet. And, you know, as we know, you can't really tell too much about how the season's going to finish. But all you can do is look at your own team and see how they're doing. And from game one to game two, we've grown. Yes, we made a hard job of it for ourselves in the Europa League, but then it wouldn't be Spurs if we weren't making it a hard job for ourselves and having us on the edge of our seat. We've now got a crazy week with Europa League later on in the week, with League Cup against Leyton Orient, which is a whole story in itself, and then Newcastle at the weekend. So, you know, just lots and lots of games with a, you know, that we've got to be playing. We know that Gareth Bale isn't going to be fit for a few weeks yet. But these are all games that we should be able to win and show, you know, what our intention is. And, you know, it's going to be great in terms of match fitness, I would say, because we're getting a lot of games under our belt and lots of players will be getting some time under the belt in competitive matches, which is something that you just don't get. You know, we've had a shortened pre-season, but we've got a busy start of the season.
Absolutely. That's going to be what gets the team kick-started, I would say. There's nothing like throwing however many matches, what is it, 8 matches in 20 days? There's nothing like throwing that at a squad and being like, right, we have to go and deliver this now. Everyone needs to be on their game now. And, you know, a 5-2 away result at Southampton, that's a great precursor to it, I think.
Yeah, and no matter what the performance, in essence, you know, 5-2 is a great scoreline. It's great for confidence, and that's what the players need, is confidence to know they can go and win those games. And in fact, to know that you went in at half time 1-1 and you ended the game 5-2, even notwithstanding the fact that the penalty was one of those penalties that we don't like to talk about at the moment, you know, so 5-1 in many ways, with, you know, 3 goals disallowed right at the beginning of the game, you know, it was a crazy game, but we came away with it with a, you know, clear distance in the scoreline, and that's got to give the players confidence ahead to what comes up. And, you know, and hopefully also the players who weren't playing today, who didn't get the chance today, will have that drive to go and show that they can do just as well. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. That mentality changes. You're starting to see it now, especially in the squad. Like, so many times I've seen before, we go 1-0 down or there's a dodgy decision against us and heads go down, and you kind of to an extent saw it still in that first half. But then when you look at the response after that, you know, they came out, they did the high press, they did the hard work they needed to do. And then the front line just did what they do best, and they just kept putting them away. And, you know, if you score 5, chances are you're going to win that match. You'd be very, very unlucky not to.
Yep. And I
would just, for me, that is the mentality that we want, is that you don't want to just rest on a 2-1 lead.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, when, you know, the penalty, which don't really, agree with, but understand. Mm. You know, you don't want to be in a position where you're only one or two goals ahead, and then that puts pressure on your squad again.
Yeah. I was watching with my nephew, and you know, he was like, "Oh, penalty!" You know, getting all upset. I'm like, you know, but it doesn't matter because it's right late in the game. We've got a hefty cushion already. They can score that penalty, and they've still got to go and score another three goals. You know, in 10 minutes or whatever it was, and that's, you just don't see that happening really. So that's the difference, isn't it? When those decisions are made, if you've built that cushion for yourself, then you don't need to worry about the dodgy decisions, or the dodgy rules. Decision, fair enough. It's the rule that was in question here. I thought they'd done away with. I was sure they were doing away with that rule, but it seems not. So, you know, we have to live with that rule. It's there. The referee did the right thing by the rule of the game. But it was all right because it happened at the end of the game when we'd already pretty much secured the 3 points rather than at the beginning of the game. But what we now need to see is that decision coming at the beginning of the game and the players still going out and winning. And, you know, with the VAR decisions, we are, you know, going against us early in the game. You know, there was the start of that kind of, you know, not letting the heads drop and you know, the leadership of Kane and Son for that first goal. You know, it is all important because if Sonny hadn't scored that goal right before half time, it could have been a different tale in the second half. But we got that bit of hope and then we went on and we won it.
And that little bit of skill from Ndombele to set that up as well. Oof, yeah. That was just nice to watch. Really, yes. Nice to watch.
And I think we're going to see more of that as the season progresses. He's still, you know, still finding his feet. It takes time. He's obviously one of those players like Moussa Sissoko who has found it harder to move in, and you can see the reason why he's come from, you know, a different league and a different way of playing, and maybe he relied on his talent to get him through there, and now he's got to work at it a bit harder than he's had to in the past. But you can see that he has now started to realise that, and he has now started to do the work, and it's starting to reap benefits. But, you know, it's going to be a while before we see him at his best for 90 minutes, I think.
Yep, but that's one of the things to look forward to. It's like a whole new signing again.
Absolutely. And let's hope, you know, that we do see, you know, hopefully it won't, you know, now that he's started on that road, it won't be too long before we're getting more from him and Lo Celso. You know, he does seem to be being picked on by the other teams quite a lot and getting quite a lot of rolling around on the floor, having been kicked in the ankle moments. But hopefully that won't affect him in terms of his fitness, and he'll still be able to play because he's obviously hugely important for us as well in that creativity stake.
Mm-hmm. The creativity is something that we've struggled with recently, especially since losing a few of our key players in the centre of the park. So it's good to see that Gio is starting to step up and do that, and you've got the creativity from Ndombele, and as his match fitness goes on and improves and he sort of adjusts to, you know, what's expected from Mourinho in terms of, you know, keeping the defensiveness but also being able to press forward when we need to. It's just going to develop those two, and I think they're going to be a great partnership over coming seasons for sure.
And I think, again, that's where, you know, the leadership of Harry Kane is so important, and Son as well, because they're showing that, you know, no matter what your status, no matter how big you are, how popular you are with the fans, whatever it is, there's always more work that you can do, and there's always work that can be done on the pitch. And if they keep leading by example, then hopefully those other players coming through will see that and will keep working as well.
Absolutely. And like we were saying with the women's team as well, when you have a sign like Alex Morgan who's coming to join you, and she's bringing that to the squad and she's bringing that to the training and that mentality, that's just going to help develop everyone to push on and improve their game. So across both squads, we should see a lot of player development over the next season.
Well, and we do need that with the women's game at the moment. We've had two games, as I say, and I alluded to earlier on, you know, the game against West Ham, which we knew was going to be scrappy because West Ham and ourselves have been kind of that middle of the table last season, scrapping out middle of the table, although, you know, we won both games against them last season in the league. This time it was a draw, but I think again, the game felt almost still like a pre-season friendly in the way that changes were made. And in the second half, we were obviously trying out positions with the new players that we've got. We started with kind of the squad from last season playing, although Angela Addison had a start, and we had Rosella Ayane was still suspended and things like that. So there was a bit of a difference. But some great work in the first half, and then it got a bit more scrappy in the second half as we tried different players. Then, of course, we played Everton. We had a weekend where everybody was playing Everton, and we both lost. But it was frustrating because the drive that we'd seen against West Ham wasn't there. There wasn't the same commitment necessary from some of the players. But also we saw the likes of Shalina Zdorsky. She started, and as did Ilana Kennedy. They both started. Kennedy had played some minutes against West Ham, but Zdorsky hadn't. And we've started to see what they're going to bring to the team. Looks like Kennedy is going to play in that central midfield role and be the link between the defence and the attack, which is great because that's a role that we've struggled with in recent seasons.
I remember saying that that was, you know, one of the key things that was sort of missing. We had the attack and we sort of had the defence, but getting between the two, that's where we was getting almost bullied out.
Yeah, and we you know, we've had temporary fix last season. We had Rachel Furness at the beginning of the season on loan, and she kind of helped with that. But then obviously she was then sold by Reading to Liverpool, so we lost her. And Chloe Peplow's form dipped second half of the season last year, and she hasn't played much this season as yet either. Looks like, you know, Kennedy and maybe Kennedy and Green as those sort of defensive midfielders with maybe Rhea Percival trying to find a role in there as well. We've got, again, a few issues in terms of the defence because we've got really good players. So Siri Vorm, again, against Everton, found herself on the bench, which to my mind is the wrong decision. For me, she should be starting. I think the back four now is Siri on the left, Ash on the right, and Zdorsky and Godfrey in the centre of defence. But Harrop's been getting the shout ahead of Godfrey, at least against Everton, and I'm not sure that that's the right call. But we'll see how it goes moving forward. And Rhea Percival, again, getting the call ahead of other people, which it's difficult to see, particularly in the right back position, because I don't think she's got the stamina to play in the right back position in our side at her stage of her career, although obviously that's where she has been. But she's great in the centre of midfield if she's needed. I'm not sure about Rachel Williams. I think she's not match fit yet. She didn't show anything particular, and apparently there was a bit of a injury to Rhianna Dean, which is why she didn't play much of the Everton game. She had a little bit of a back problem, because we were all desperately imploring Karen and Juan from our living rooms to get Rhianna on, and she only came on right at the very end. So hopefully we'll see a bit more of her as the season continues, and she can only, you know, learn from Alex Morgan, you know, one of the best strikers in the world.
So we've got coming up the quarterfinal for the FA Women's Cup. And like you said earlier, it's a lovely North London derby against Arsenal Women. So we've got that on the 26th.
Yeah, and that's on BBC Two. Is it on BBC Two? BBC Two.
Yeah.
5:15 kickoff.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a match day Zoom for that one as well.
Yeah, really looking forward to that one.
So what you can do is you can join us. If you're signed up to our emails already, you'll have got an email with a link to it already. If you haven't, there'll be another one popping up just before the weekend. So make sure you get on our website and get yourself registered so that you can join us for that one. And it's going to be a good occasion because, you know, we've got hopefully, potentially one of the best strikers in the world who will hopefully be able to make an appearance.
Yeah, we hope so. We were worried that she might have to quarantine, but she was at Hotspur Way the day that Gareth Bale arrived. They did her first day then. So hopefully that means she's not quarantining and she will be available. Whether she has had much chance to play with the rest of the team or not is unlikely. But, you know, get some minutes maybe. I mean, Arsenal are looking very dangerous. They've had some big scorelines in their first couple of games, albeit against, you know, some of the smaller teams in the league. They haven't gone down the route of signing any huge players from America on short-term deals like a lot of the big clubs have. They've got quite a small squad. That's how their manager likes to work. And let's remember, this is last season's FA Cup. This is our first time in the quarterfinals. So we just want to enjoy the occasion, you know, go out. We haven't had our usual pre-season friendly against Arsenal. Every season we have one and we narrow the scoreline every time. So it'd be great to see the girls go out there and really, you know, get at Arsenal. We've got some young players in our squad who are hungry and understand that that North London rivalry. We've also got players, you know, who bring experience of winning at the highest level. So who knows, anything can happen in the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the FA Cup, isn't it?
And you've got to believe, haven't you?
Absolutely. And what better way to do it than that good old North London rivalry? It should be one that both teams are going to get really stuck into. And it will be interesting to see the balance between, you know, what the squad do. Do we really press and attack, or do we try and sit back and, you know, trust that, you know, we've got the quality to hit them on the counter? You know, ideally, I think that we should, you know, try and just make the most of it and really go at them and just put them under pressure. Because if you put people under pressure regularly, you know, mistakes will happen, and then capitalise on those and take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. We're still finding our feet, as I say, this season with the new signings and some of our players from last season. I mean, Kit Graham hasn't... she started slowly last season, and she seems to be starting a bit slowly again this season. But we know the quality that she's got. We know that when we played Arsenal last season at the Spurs Stadium, you know, we kept them just to, you know, a very narrow margin of win. And we, you know, there were a couple of occasions we could, perhaps should have scored against them. So, fingers crossed, let's go out and enjoy it. Let's see what we can do. And, you know, we've got nothing to lose from that game, because nobody expects us to get anything from it.
Yeah, so hopefully, fingers crossed, the pressure's not on as much. They can just go out there and really play to their capabilities. And like you said, anything can happen in the FA Cup.
And then, we've got, as we say, we've got League Cup game against Leighton Orient for the men. So that's going to be, that's just a really interesting game. What with the history with Justin Edinburgh, of course, and the local... of the two teams. I mean, that's a big game. And then,
and with Harry Kane doing the charity shirts for Leighton Orient as well, so that's really, you know, a nice connection there too.
So I mean, there's going to be a lot of it's going to be a local rivalry, but a friendly local rivalry, given the you know, all those, that history. Just a great occasion for them, and a game that we will be hoping to win reasonably comfortably, although when do Spurs ever win anything reasonably comfortably?
Yeah, you know, we perform best when we're the underdogs, most would say.
Well, yeah, knowing how we play. And then we travel to the back of beyond in Europe for another qualifying game for the Europa League. And again, and inevitably, we won't make it easy for ourselves, but I think we're all expecting that we should make it through that game as well.
Yep, and then that gives us another fixture off into, I think it's October, when we would then play the last qualifying round.
But it would be at home, I believe.
Yes, so, you know, that's an interesting prospect to, you know, be able to actually have a European match at home. Would be nice.
And then, of course, we've got Newcastle on Sunday, which, you know, Newcastle again seems to be putting in some indifferent performances and then improving as well. So, you know... a game we should be winning, a game we should be getting 3 points from, but we wait and see how the team respond and how they respond to already having played 3 times in the last week.
Yeah, and you've also got to look at what sort of squad, you know, Mourinho's going to put out. You've got, you know, two different cups and the league. You know, does he prioritise one over the other? Does he just do a mix across all three? I think for Mourinho, he's going to focus on the league more than he is going to on Europe. I know that it would be great for him to win the Europa League again, but I think given, you know, the opposition, I don't think he's going to put all guns blazing like he did first time round, because, you know, that took a lot out of the players, especially with the travel and everything like that. And, you know, started the game against Southampton a little bit sluggish with a little bit of a hangover from that. So I think he'll be a little bit more careful this time round, I think.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think he would probably, you know, I would imagine there's going to be a certain amount of waiting to see how the players are feeling after the game against Leighton Orient, seeing who's played 90 minutes in that game, who played against Southampton, you know, all of those things. You know, it's not something that he's going to, I would imagine, make a decision about too far in advance, because you just don't know what the effect of those games is going to be, and the players who are going to be up for it and the players who aren't, and so many different factors, and who, you know, injuries that come along, hopefully not, but, you know, with the Spurs, there's always likelihood of somebody getting injured at some point. So there's a lot of things for him to take into consideration, and it's going to be, I would imagine, a day by day thought process rather than having it all planned out in advance.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how it all develops then, and you know, if we can pick up some good form now, you know, 9 matches pretty much on the bounce, and then after off the back of that, we then go into the busier period around Christmas where we've got lots of big profile matches in the league. So, you know, there's a lot to gain over the next month or two as a club, and there's a lot of struggles and a lot of challenges and hurdles that the team have really got to get over really quick.
Well, and the women's team as well have got a really not very nice October ahead of them, because we play Arsenal the end of September, and then we get into October and we've got Manchester City, Manchester United, Arsenal again. So, you know, some really tricky matches coming up in October. Really, hopefully, good opportunity for both teams to a baptism of fire in terms of the new signings and learning to play together, and hopefully both teams can come away with some great results and, you know, forge a strength through those difficult games.
Yeah, we really want to see like that performance level really pick up. You know, there might be matches where we're not going to get the results, but if the performance is there and we can walk away and take loads of positives from it and go into the next match with heads held high, then that's all you can really ask for, I suppose.
But also it's that recognising that with the fixture schedule that we've got and the games that we've got coming, you know, winning ugly might be the way that we have to do it. And however we get 3 points or get progress to the next round, so long as we do that, you know, and we're improving with each game, then that's what's key. You know, the men, I think, have got that difficulty in that at the moment they've got a lot of knockout games, and so they're going to have to be on the ball every game. The women's obviously is a more of a season of more of the games are cumulative, and it's, I think, for the Tottenham women, I think, don't look at the table come November time, because it might not be reflective of how it's going to look once we get to Christmas. Then you can start looking at the table, because we have got those tricky games early on. So it is a big difference. You know, the women's league, the Super League, you've got Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester City, top three, with Manchester United coming in maybe as the top four this season, then Everton, who've strengthened really well and looking really good, and Reading, who've historically been up there, and then you've got the likes of ourselves and West Ham knocking on the door of Everton and Reading, I would say, and then the teams below that who, you know, maybe struggle more, but we don't want to be losing our footing. We did really well last season. We finished 7th. The players were saying they would have liked to have finished 6th, and they'd like to do that this season. So pushing on again and seeing what we can do. But, you know, we need to make sure we're not losing ground in the Super League this season as well, which is easier said than done.
Absolutely. And we'll be there the whole way through to talk about how the season looks to be shaping up. And like you said, we're not going to be focusing too much on where we are on the table, because when you've got a bunch of games like that coming up, you know, you don't have high expectations for where you'll be in the table. So anything that we do get from that and anywhere that we are will be a bonus. And I guess we'll just have to see how that goes and then be ready to you know, deliver on those matches where we know we can get the results.
Yeah, and I think for me, I mean, one of the biggest tests in the women's game is how the management adapt. I think there's still some interesting questions about their team selection and their player kind of preferences. They tend to have players that they like and keep trying to fit in the squad somehow, despite maybe evidence that perhaps they should be focusing on other people rather than those players. So there's still a bit of intrigue in that regard as to how Karen and Juan are managing the team and what will happen when we bring in these players who are, you know, so much more experienced than anybody else at the club. But in a good way, you know, it's all positive. It's like bringing in Gareth Bale. It's that positive ambition. It's that challenge to everybody in the club to make themselves better and to improve and to take the club to that higher level.
So that's all we've got time for on our welcome back. But it's been great talking with you, Sian.
Thank you. And you, Lee. Yeah, it's always interesting to have a chat. And beginning of the season is always a little bit controversial with the starting games. And it's never the easiest time to be a Spurs fan. But hopefully this season is going to be an interesting one in all the right ways. As,
We haven't spoken as much about VAR this time, which is great.
although we could have done, giving, but you know, let's focus on, you know, the positives at this point in the season.
Exactly. So take care, everyone. Look forward to seeing you on our next Zooms. And like I said, join up to the email so that you don't miss out.
Until next time here on the Proud Lily White Pod, thank you for joining us. And it's goodbye from me, Sean.
And goodbye from Lee.